The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Yes, it is Friday, March 15th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Joining me back in the studio, it's been a while. It's Uncle T-Bone joining me on this Friday afternoon. Good to see you back, man. Hope you're doing well.
Free for all Friday. Glad to be back in studio, Jacob. March Madness is upon us. SEC tournament going on and various other conference tournaments all around the country. Upset mania all week.
Like we knew it would be.
Looks like it's trying to continue in today with Mississippi State now up 14 with 2 minutes and 37 seconds left to go.
Ooh.
Over number one seed, impossible, a number one seed in the big dance, the NCAA tournament, University of Tennessee. So there's a lot going on. Give us a call at 334-321-1390. Hear it on the line, the show that tells it like it is.
And holds nothing back. And we plan on doing that today with so much basketball talk on the show, recapping what's been a crazy week so far. And as you said, Uncle T-Bone, we got it on in the studio. I'm looking at it with my eyeballs right now. Mississippi State closing in on a big-time win over Tennessee in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament. We're going to get there. We'll keep you updated on the final score. But we got to work our way to this, right? We've got to recap what yesterday was around the SEC, around college basketball. You said it, upset city. We knew it was going to be like this in March, man. The regular season told us and showed us this was going to happen. And, man, it's been that way for the last, 4 or 5 days in college basketball. So that's what's on the show today. We'll have a little football conversation as well. May also be getting some insight with boots on the ground in Nashville from the baseball scene. So we'll talk about that a little bit today as well. And it is a free-for-all Friday, which means phone lines are open the entire show. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. How are we feeling about Auburn coming up in just about 25, 30 minutes or so? It'll be 25 minutes after this game. So you're probably looking at about a 240 start, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
And so how are you feeling about this game coming up later on in just about 40 minutes or so? Auburn and South Carolina winner. Looks like they're going to move on and play Mississippi State in the semifinals of the SEC tournament. Who'd had that one in their bracket? I sure didn't. I did not have this happening at all, but we want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Some coaches firings we've seen all week long. We had Vanderbilt fire their coach. We had Michigan fire Juwan Howard today. Finally, that took way too long. That situation and the Jerry Stackhouse situation at Vanderbilt seemed very similar to me. Legends at the school, legends in the game that just were there way too long, and finally they called it a quit on that one, so he got fired today. But man, what about this result? Mississippi State less than 2 minutes away from taking down Tennessee in the SEC quarterfinals.
Quick update, 71-56, Mississippi State under 2 minutes. I believe there's a minute 57. They just went to commercial right when I was trying to give you the update, but State is rolling. Jacob, State came off today, I believe, as a 9.5, 10-point underdog. That is, that's a lot of points in an SEC basketball game, especially in a quarterfinal of an SEC tournament. I heard a lot of people talking about this the past couple of days on shows. I've been traveling around the state with my day job, been tuning in, been staying in touch, talking to people out on the streets, talking to people out there, jamming with the common man. I speak for the common man out there, folks, and they're like, look, Uncle T, you got to watch out around Friday in these conference tournaments because, or Thursday in other ones, when the top seeds haven't played.
Yep.
And they're taking on an underdog who may have already played once or twice. And if they're there, that means they're on a winning streak. And not to mention, they've been getting a good look at those rims. And you just stroll out there cold. We've seen this happen with Auburn the last couple of years, just one and done in the SEC tournament. And I'm not going to say it's over, but it looks like it's about as close to being over as it can be. Tennessee, one and done in Nashville.
One and done, man. And it's crazy because that's a conversation we've had all week. We had this talk with Daryl Dapperich back on Tuesday about, does that benefit teams that play before their next opponent, right? For a team like Mississippi State, who got to play the day before, and then they roll in and they play that top seed that they're doing right now. I think it benefits a team on the second day.
Yes.
A team that's played once and they're playing their second game in their second day, because that's not that bad. There's nothing crazy about that thought. If you can't play two games in 2 days, you don't belong on the basketball floor in the SEC or any big-time college basketball program. But I think once you start getting into 3 games in 3 days, 4 games in 4 days, 5 games in 5 days, right? That's when you really start seeing the fatigue set in. And Auburn's going to find themselves in a situation today. They right. play a South Carolina team that played yesterday, and they're going to be ready for Auburn come about 2:45 today.
Yeah, South Carolina played pretty well, too. Played a Arkansas team that we talked about on Monday that you probably didn't want to see in this tournament. Arkansas and Vanderbilt got together in game one of the SEC tournament back on Wednesday. Vandy had a nice lead in that game, probably was the final straw on the camel that broke the camel's back with Jerry Stackhouse, and Arkansas came storming back. Arkansas played South Carolina a pretty good game yesterday, but South Carolina taking care of business. Some of their players talking a little yang after the game, saying
that's one
stuff
way to
like,
say it.
They ain't in the jungle no more, Jacob.
Uh-oh.
So Auburn better be ready to rock and roll. I think when you play in a situation like this, if you haven't played yet, Auburn needs to go down the court early in the game, work the ball inside, work from the rim back. Don't come out hucking up threes and expect to get hot. Get your legs up underneath you. Don't worry about the score early as long as it's close, and then get in transition and get going.
Which is exactly what Tennessee did. You're talking about coming out and hucking up threes. I think they shot like 18 threes right. in the first half. Like, that's not who Tennessee is, but no. that's what they were trying to do.
That's who Dalton Connect has shown he can be.
Correct.
But, you know, and Mississippi State's got some inside physicality. I mean, this game's over. They're not even trying to foul now. 1:15 to go. Mississippi State up 72-56. Night-night, Vols. One and done in the SEC tournament. Boy, I hope this is not a harbinger of things to come.
This guy's got some comments on this. Says he has the perfect analogy for the situation we're talking about, Uncle T-Bone. 334-321-1390. John in Auburn, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, I tell you what, it's March and it's a tournament and it's Rick Barnes.
Hey, there's been plenty of people I've heard over the last couple of weeks talking about this, and as well as they were playing, especially after going down to Tuscaloosa and taking care of business, I don't know if that's going to be the case this year, but man, history's repeating itself, eh, John?
It's crazy. Hey, here's the analogy I have for y'all. So you were talking about, you know, does it benefit a team who plays on day two in this tournament where the top seed isn't protected? So to me, I liken it to, let's say, kind of a daily sport where you play 162 games. And then you take the top seed and top two seeds in baseball, sit them down for 4 or 5 days, let them get cold.
Yep.
And then here comes a hot team that just won 2 out of 3. And every dang year in baseball now, we see the same thing.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And, John, while you were talking, Tennessee's down 73-56, and State just walked out of the way, and they let Dalton Connect drive through the lane, and he just clanked an open dunk in front of everybody.
I mean, he tried to posterize that, like, as a highlight for the future NBA draft. And talk about white men can't jump. Where is Woody Harrelson when you need him? That, I mean, he's lucky he didn't break his hand trying to dunk that and didn't even make it.
But John, you're absolutely right on your baseball analogy, because I think it is so cruel to do that to the best teams in baseball, because here, congratulations, you played well all season. We're going to sit you down, let this team get their bats working, get their pitching rotation figured out, and they come in hot as a firecracker to a team that hasn't played in a week.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, I'll circle right back to college basketball. One last thing. I don't know if y'all talked about this. Have you talked about how nutty it is that the transfer portal in basketball opens on Monday?
Yep. It's ridiculous. I mean, we know it's broken for football. It's broken for basketball. It's broken all over the place. And now, you know, the NCAA announced that, you know, guys can or players can transfer without any waivers or anything. I mean, it's pretty much a free-for-all in the transfer portal now.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Well, let's, you know, instead of playing the NIT, might as well swap around, get some spring credits, and play in the tournament.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, man. It would start in the next. It would start in that next athletic season.
I know. Hey, thank you, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, John. Great to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Game has gone final. Mississippi State takes down Tennessee 73-56 in what was a beatdown in Nashville in game one of the day. And as you said, I hope this isn't a mirror of what is going to happen in this next game coming up in just about 25 minutes or so between Auburn and South Carolina. And if you are Auburn in this situation, you cannot look at the next team. You cannot be licking your chops and think, can play Mississippi State in the semis. No, you better focus on that South Carolina team, because they will be ready.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, after embarrassing them in Neville Arena about a month ago, beating them by, like, seemed like 50, you know.
40 was the final number.
They are going to be ready to play. And you know, you caught South Carolina at home where you play well on a bad night.
Played your best game of the year.
And embarrassed them. This is a team that is 25-6. The number five seed right behind you is the number four seed in the SEC tournament. At worst right now, probably a six seed in the NCAA. So this is a tournament-type game. Auburn has to approach this as one and done. And with that mentality, if you don't win this game, we all know the season's not over. But let's act like it is. And play with that sense of urgency, because that's how South Carolina is going to come in and play this game.
And Auburn has talked about that is how they're playing right now. Chad Baker-Mazzara talked that way, and Chaney Johnson's talked that way. Like, they have said those things where, look, we're playing this win or go home for every single matchup. And that was even with the Georgia game to end the regular season and the Mississippi State game and all of that and the Missouri game, right? So you hope that they have that mentality. You hope that they are thinking that way, but human nature doesn't allow you to block out the things that you know. I mean, it's impossible. Your brain can't do that knowing that you just watched, because Auburn knows the result of this game. They know what happened right here, 73-56, Tennessee one and done, not even two in barbecue. They're just one and out in Nashville.
Get out.
Auburn knows that, but they cannot let that get into their heads and affect how they play this game against South Carolina. And as we go and as we look at this before Auburn tips off, Auburn favored by 7.5.
Yep, that's
how do you feel about that?
Yep, that's number 821 and 822 in the official Nevada rotation. The over-under opened up at 141.5.
It's gone up.
And has jumped to 145.5. So the boys out in Vegas think some points are going to be scored in this one. Boy, I don't know. It opened up at 7.5, jumped to 8.5, dropped back down to 7.5. That is a difficult line for me to pick right there. I'm going to have to take South Carolina in those points, though, and hope that we're going to fade Uncle T-Bone to a big victory. Look, the Gamecocks have already gotten a look at these rims. This is for Auburn's first time. The only way that this game that just happened can get in Auburn's head, I think, is a positive. Because naturally, you'd be like, well, it looks like to me, on paper, if we get past this one against South Carolina, our pathway to Saturday and further future glory has gotten a little bit easier, right? Because we're not going to have to play Tennessee. But I can promise you right now, Bruce Pearl and his staff is up in these Tigers' grills and ears saying, if you don't show up, a possible number one seed in the tournament and one of the best teams that everybody in the media is just a darling for, right? If you don't show up and play your game, you're going to not only get beat and sent home and have a short stay in Nashville, you're going to get embarrassed.
Yeah, and that's
a motivator.
That's exactly what you have to say. Is like, look, you are not an unbeatable team. And Tennessee was seemingly unbeatable for a little bit. I know they've had their losses here and there, but that was, as you said, one of the best teams in college basketball. And they walk in and get beat by a Mississippi State team who is fighting for their NCAA tournament lives. Now, I think they're in 100% after this. You talk about a resume-building win, that's exactly what you want to do. They're interviewing Josh Hubbard right now. That guy is a player, let me tell you.
He is a pleasure to watch. Hats off to Mississippi State. I'm going to be honest with you, about 2.5 weeks ago, I'd written them off. I wasn't the only one. The national people had moved them pretty far off the bubble, or as far down on the bubble as you can be, or close to being off the bubble as you can be. And they had some ugly losses down the stretch, got on a little losing streak, but that's basketball, man. All of a sudden, especially tournament basketball, you can get hot at the right time and everything seems to start going in, and you got a player like Josh Hubbard who's fearless and he's a point guard. What do we say about exceptional guard play in March? That's what it takes, and he's that build, and he's just ruthless, dropping threes and balling. And we'll see if A&M's going to be that same type team tonight against Kentucky. So Auburn better be ready to go. But hats off to Mississippi State. Huge win. Head coach Chris Jans talking right now. They're clearly in the tournament.
Matthews had 18. Hubbard had 18 for Mississippi State as well. Dalton Knecht had 14. Ziegler had 20. Huh. Crazy what happens when Dalton Knecht doesn't go off for 40 points, right? It's crazy what happens when your best player doesn't play his best game. It's almost like you don't win your games. It's crazy. And Mississippi State did exactly what you're supposed to do to a Tennessee team. Play hard defense. Hold them to 56 points. Yeah, you've got a great chance to win the basketball game. Mississippi State does. They beat Tennessee 73-56. The Dogs now await the winner of Auburn and South Carolina.
You said it, Jacob. If you hold any team to 56 points from here on out in March, you're probably going to win national championship.
Yep, you're going to win some ball games. I want to talk about the games that happened yesterday and last night. Some big-time teams won and some big-time teams fell. We'll talk about that, then get into some more preview of Auburn and South Carolina. That's all coming up here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here on the Friday edition of On the Line. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7. About 17 minutes away from tip-off between Auburn and South Carolina in the SEC Tournament. Quarterfinals winner moves on to play the Mississippi State Bulldogs. We're going to talk about that game and continue to preview that and give you updates as we go. But I want to talk about the games that happened yesterday and last night, Uncle T-Bone.
Sure.
Because there was some really, really good games and some crazy results. Two of the best teams in the country, Houston and UConn, they handled business. North Carolina handled their business. Arizona and Iowa State handled their business. And all of them had big blowout wins. Then you get to Creighton, the number 8 team in the country. And in the Big East tournament, my favorite tournament by far, how about Providence? They walk in there, beat them 78-73. Upset. How about Villanova-Marquette? Marquette got it done over Villanova. In overtime, though, Nova had a chance to do it. You flip over to the ACC.
Nova's been playing some good basketball the last couple of weeks.
They have. Now, their record is pretty abysmal, but yeah. They've been playing good ball, and I don't think they're in the tournament.
No.
You flip to the ACC tournament. How about Duke and Mr. Grayson Allen 2.0 and Kyle Filipowski? Yeah, they let NC State beat them 74-69.
Breaks my heart. Get out, Duke. North Carolina State playing some good basketball, fighting for their tournament lives. 19-14 now. The Wolfpack take care of business. 74-69 over the Dukies. If Auburn can take care of business today against South Carolina, will they get in front of Duke possibly in some seeding with the NCAA?
Possibly. Possibly, yeah.
Makes this game even bigger now. Yeah. You just don't want to give the Jerry Palms of the world, the committees of the world, any kind of excuse. And speaking of Jerry Palm, have you seen his at CBSSports.com latest bracketology? He has Auburn as a 5.
That's
I mean, come on, man.
That's
what's that dude's problem?
That's good enough to get your credential taken away. That's all I know. I mean,
even win, lose, or draw, Auburn today, in my opinion, Auburn's no worse than a 4. That's ridiculous.
You can't tell me that there are 20-plus better teams in the country than Auburn. You cannot convince me of that.
I mean, in the net and in the KenPom, Auburn's like 5-6.
They've been top 10 all year.
Come
consistently.
On, Palm. Whatever, man.
Colorado State beat Nevada last night. That's the 23rd ranked team in the country, 85-78. I don't want to say this one, but I feel like we have to. We're obligated to. Our Dayton Flyers dropped the ball. 24th ranked team in the country in the Atlantic 10 Championship quarterfinals against a sneaky decent Duquesne team, 65-57. Flyers lose.
Duquesne always has some solid basketball. They're in and out of the tournament every 3 years.
Battle of the D's, and Duquesne got it.
But Dayton has been on the struggle bus for a couple of weeks now. Jacob, they were messing around and kind of pushing towards the top 15 in the AP, maybe a little bit better about a month ago. And ever since, they've been sliding backwards and drinking that backslider's wine.
That team we just watched, Mississippi State, how'd they get to the Tennessee game? Well, they started out pretty slow against LSU in the first half last night, 29-22. What'd they do? They just scored 48 in the second half and beat them 70-60. An LSU team that fought, give them credit, man. That was a team that I think could be decent in years to come. But Mississippi State won that game, and then, of course, they just beat Tennessee about 10 minutes ago. So that was exciting. How about St. John's, man? Maybe the story of the week so far during Champ Week, and Rick Pitino, they're rolling, man. They've got UConn tonight in the Big East semifinals, which could end up being a good game. I have a feeling UConn may just roll tonight, though.
Yeah, maybe the glass slipper is not going to fit so well for St. John's this evening, but I'm never going to count Rick Pitino out. I can promise you, on a big stage, he would like to slice and dice those UConn Huskies up on his way to a definitive NCAA berth at that point. I think St. John's is in anyway, but he's the type coach you don't want to run up on in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely not.
I could see UConn taking care of business bigly tonight. I believe St. John and the Red Storm catching 9 in a hook. But, man, I could also see Rick Pitino just having some loaded for bear tonight for those Huskies.
And just giving them everything they want.
And running stuff that he was running 20 years ago and just bringing it all out.
It's what you have to do. Yeah, it's what you have to do sometimes when you play one of the top teams in the country, the defending national champions.
That's right.
The other two games in the SEC tournament last night, the game I was looking forward to the most, Texas A&M and Ole Miss. This was a great game. This was everything I wanted it to be last night. They were back and forth. Yeah. Run after run after run. Ole Miss would cut it closer, A&M would pull back out. Ole Miss would cut it closer, A&M would pull it back out. It was just back and forth the whole way. Texas A&M does end up winning the game like I figured they would. That Ole Miss team, just they had some talent. They just couldn't quite put it together down the stretch this season. And Texas A&M has set themselves up with a pretty little date with John Calipari and the Cats later on tonight in the SEC tournament. The other game.
Yeah, tip of the hat to both of those teams.
Yeah, go ahead.
That was a physical basketball game. Mm-hmm. There were bodies all over the floor. There was blood on the floor at some point from Alan Flanagan diving for balls. That was a rough basketball game. Wade Taylor the fourth, though.
Dog.
Golly, I love that
He's
kid,
He's so
man.
Good, man.
There's some
players in this league, Uncle T-Bone. There's some players in this league right now.
I'm going to tell you, it would be hard for me if I had a draft pick not to take a Wade Taylor the fourth to play on my basketball team, because he is just – he's an all-around great guy. Buzz Williams is awesome. I continue to be impressed with him as a head coach. Texas A&M, I still think, is on the bubble and fighting for their tournament life, so that makes them very dangerous. But Wade Taylor the fourth is awesome, dude.
Yeah, he is. He's really, really good. And then the other game, the nightcap in the SEC tournament, I was wrong about this game. I said Florida was going to roll over the Dogs last night, and Georgia – credit to that team, man. They fought until the very end. Mike White's a heck of a coach. We know that. And he got his team to play one of their better games of the year. It just wasn't enough. 85-80, Florida takes down Georgia. But it took all 40 minutes of that game for the Gators to get the win.
Yeah, you would think on paper that Florida would just come out and just strum Georgia. But, you know, this is a rivalry game, right? You know, those two teams have no love lost for them in any sport. And Georgia was ready to play and almost got the Gators. Do you think the Dogs make the NIT?
Probably not.
Man, that's a shame. That's a shame. That's a better team than their record at 17-16, I believe. Boy, they started out hot, but they have fallen in the last part of this conference play.
Starting five for Auburn, Aiden Holloway, Denver Jones, Chad Baker-Mazzara, Jayla Williams, Jani Broome. We'll talk about it, preview Auburn and South Carolina when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
The Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Jacob Goetz. He is Uncle T-Bone. We are just about 10 or 15 minutes away from, probably about 10 minutes now, from tip-off between Auburn and South Carolina in the SEC tournament in the corner finals. And South Carolina, their junior guard, Miles, is it, and apologies for me not remembering how to pronounce it. Is it Stute or Stute? Is it? I think it's.
I don't know why you're asking me, Jay.
I think it's Stute. He's out today for the quarterfinal.
I can barely pronounce my own name.
He's day-to-day with a hip pointer, whatever that is.
Well, that's a team that's not the deepest of the better teams in the league. And, you know, moving forward, they're going to need him to get healthy. You got to have all your shooters and all your guns ready to go in the NCAA tournament. So, maybe Auburn catching a little advantage there with a South Carolina injury from them playing yesterday, and this theory of getting a good look at the court and the rims might swing back in the Tigers' favor.
Yeah, that's a guy that averages 8 points off the bench, a couple of rebounds, and an assist as well. So, yeah, it's a depth piece that South Carolina will be without when Auburn plays South Carolina. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Some other games that have been happening today before we dive back into this game. We'll keep you updated as it goes. So be sure if you've got it on TV, keep us on the radio and vice versa, all that good stuff. But games that have already happened today. We told you about Mississippi State taking down Tennessee in the SEC quarters. They now await the winner of the game that we're all about to talk about and take right in between Auburn and South Carolina. Purdue got a nice scare earlier today in the Big Ten tournament by Michigan State, who has not been playing great basketball, but they gave one of the better teams in the country everything they wanted. Purdue wins 67-62. And that Michigan State team, they've been hanging around the NCAA tournament. I still don't know why. I don't think
they're that great. I mean, I know they just played the number one team tough in their conference tournament, but this is a team that I think is on the backside of the bubble. And, boy, in every other bracket, man, they just seem to get that benefit of the doubt as a 9 seed. We've theorized about this, that some folks, some higher ups, know something we don't know about the possibility of Tom Izzo not being the coach and this being his last dance. And what are they going to do then? They're going to put them in the tournament, and they're going to milk that story for as much as they can.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't they? If they knew that, or just, and as I said the other day, Michigan State is a money maker. They're a money-making brand in college basketball.
You know, the past couple of years, though, I'll say it, they haven't been completely the marquee team that they once were of championship caliber, but they've gotten in the tournament somehow, some way, and they've done a little damage. So, I mean, he's the type coach. He's like a Rick Pitino that you don't want to really see in the first round.
You better believe it.
Someone who's been there, someone who's done that and gotten a national championship. They know how to coach a little bit, and they know how to coach in tournaments, and that's an even bigger difference than it just being an all-around good coach.
There's some really good games going on later on this afternoon and into the night. St. John's and UConn, we talked about that. That's at 4:30 on Fox. I'm excited about this one. How about the Ohio State Buckeyes? After firing their coach late in the season, who just got hired at DePaul, which is kind of crazy, taking on Illinois tonight in the Big Ten quarterfinals. Illinois favored by 5.5. I like the Buckeyes in this game. They have been playing some of the best basketball in the country, Uncle T-Bone. They have been playing extremely well. It pains me to say it, but they've been doing it. They beat Purdue after they lost to Wisconsin. They fired their coach, right? They fired Chris Holtman. Then they beat Purdue, who was the number two team in the country. Lost at Minnesota. Since then, they've won five games in a row, including their win over Iowa in the Big Ten tournament. They're making a run and making a little noise in people's bracketologies.
Yep, when you're hot, you're hot, and when you're not, you're not. I mean, could it get any worse for DePaul? I mean, really, than giving this guy a shot? That's a program that I watched some of them earlier in the week when they cranked. I mean, they were like 1-for-30 from behind the line. They look like a junior high team shooting.
That program has been in shambles, and it's a shame, man. It's a shame.
That used to be a very strong basketball program with a national presence, and I mean, they've just completely fallen off the face of the earth. Ohio State now 20-12 since the firing of Holman. Taking on Illinois tonight, 23-8. Buckeyes catching 5.5. I mean, they've got to be getting close to getting in the tournament if they win tonight.
Why not take the Buckeyes, right? Why not take them, an exciting team that's playing well, that's having fun, and they are close to getting in to the tournament. They are next four outs right now, according to Joe Lunardi at ESPN. So they keep winning. Yeah, there's a chance that they could slide up in there. Now, teams ahead of them, like Kansas State, they lost. Providence, they won with a big-time win yesterday.
Big-time win. They've got
something. Villanova's right below them. They're lost. They're out. So, yeah, think about that. And keep an eye on that one tonight, Ohio State and Illinois. In the Big 12 semifinals, number 25, Texas Tech, taking on the number one team in the country, the Houston Cougars, who have been playing extremely well. They made TCU look like, whatever analogy you want to use. You already used a junior high team. That's about what they were yesterday. So that'll be a good one in the Big 12 semifinal.
Texas Tech's kind of been a roller coaster earlier in the season. They were playing good ball, kind of went into a slump, but they're on the upswing, catching 9.5 tonight against the Cougars. Should be a good game. That's over on ESPN2.
Other games in the SEC, the quarterfinals tonight at 6 o'clock on the SEC Network. Texas A&M and Buzz Williams coming off their win last night. They get John Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats. And I asked you this during the break, and I want to talk about this on the air. Kentucky only favored by 5.5. Does that not seem a little odd to you?
Kind of smells like cologne to me, Jacob.
And you know what they say, if it smells like cologne,
you better leave it the heck alone.
Do you feel weird about this? Kentucky only favored by 5.5? Because if Kentucky plays their brand, they could blow Texas A&M out by 25 points.
Buzz Williams in the tournament. Like I said, Wade Taylor IV, that's a gritty Texas A&M team that's already beaten Kentucky once this season. I've been big on Kentucky all year. I think that they could show up in the tournament and easily get to the Final Four if they ball out with as much talent as they have. But golly, you just don't know what Kentucky team's going to show up. Is it going to be the one that takes care of business and beats Tennessee to end the season and everything's going in their favor? Or is it just going to be the Kentucky team that allows who was it that they lost to? UNC, like Wilmington or somebody? I mean, earlier in the season, I mean, they've had some weird losses this year. And, is it going to be good Kentucky that plays to the potential, or is it just going to be kind of ho-hum Kentucky?
Well, Texas A&M better know. They're going to have chances to score tonight. And, look, they're probably going to put up 80 points. The goal for Texas A&M is to not allow Kentucky to go for 100, which we all know they have the capability to do. So that game will be at 6 o'clock tonight. 7 o'clock on FS1, Providence and number 10 Marquette in the Big East semifinal. My TV will be glued to that. You better believe it. That's going to be a lot of fun there. Number 14, Baylor. Number 7, Iowa State in the Big 12 semifinal. Really good game there. Florida and Alabama tonight in the nightcap, 8:30 on the SEC Network. Bama favored by 4.5. The way that Florida played last night,
right,
I just think Alabama should roll. They should roll in this game, but they'll probably get a pretty good fight from the Gators.
You know, this will be the third time these teams have seen each other this season, so there should be no surprises between either one of the teams. I expect it to be a very high-scoring affair, no doubt about it. Alabama's played really well in this SEC tournament over the last couple of years, so I expect them to show up. I'm with you. You know, it's like Texas A&M and Ole Miss last night. A week before that, to end the season, Texas A&M blisters Ole Miss. So what was their reward for it? To get to play them again, right?
Right.
And they almost got beaten in a heck of a basketball game. Florida blisters Alabama. about a week and a half ago. What's their reward now? To play Alabama again. I expect the Tide to kind of come in and take care of business tonight.
We'll see. That'll be at 8:30 on the SEC Network. Game is underway in Nashville between Auburn and South Carolina. Jani Broome started with a layup, and South Carolina scored 5 points since on a three and a layup of their own just about 2 minutes in to the ball game. And then Chad Baker-Mazzara able to tie it or get it in within one. So, again, we'll keep you updated on that game. Let's talk about this game a little bit, Uncle T-Bone. It's underway. Auburn has to play solid defense, and we were talking about this earlier. They've got to just play their game. Don't do what Tennessee did. Don't go out in the first game of the tournament and try to get hot, get quick, and kind of cheat the system by shooting a bunch of threes. And hopefully Auburn doesn't do that, because if they do and they don't make them, South Carolina is good enough offensively to take advantage of it.
Yeah, South Carolina's the team that can get streaky on you, right? They can get hot. They can start making some shots. And next thing you know, they're playing some physical defense on you, and they got you down by 12, and there's about 5 minutes left in the game. So I'm with you. Don't come out, and even if South Carolina gets going with a couple of threes early, kind of builds up a lead, just keep grinding. Just keep pushing it inside. Auburn's much deeper team than South Carolina. Auburn's got can come at you in waves. You know, here shortly, you'll see Chaney Johnson come in. Chris Moore is coming in. They're just going to go throw bodies at South Carolina. And if they want to play a physical basketball game, let's play that kind of backyard brawl game.
And I think in terms of that in a physical game, Auburn has to be careful. Not that they've had this problem a ton this season, but they have in recent weeks, and especially recent games. The one that comes to mind is the Georgia game on the road, where they did get in foul trouble, right? They got in some serious foul trouble. It ended up not hurting them down the stretch, but a team like South Carolina, who does shoot free throws very well, who plays a physical brand of defense, will go after somebody in foul trouble. Auburn has to be careful in case Jani Broome or Jalen Williams or Chad Baker-Mazzara does get in that situation late. Auburn's got to find some guys to go to if they get in a position like that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you just can't give any team that's had some problems with depth any kind of advantage, and that would be a neutralizer for Auburn, especially if they got in foul trouble. Real quick, to get away from this game before we go to break, we didn't mention a game that I see right here on scoresandodds.com. Actually, two back-to-back games. Golly, the basketball is just fantastic.
It's
right
awesome.
Now. It's awesome. And March Madness is, I mean, it's just the best time of year, in my opinion. Baylor and Iowa State going to go at it tonight in the Big 12 Conference Championship. That will be a whale of a game. And at the same time, Jacob, 23-9 San Diego State will be going up against 27-5 Utah State, who's been kind of hot lately. So just the basketball will continue late into the night, and I can't stand it, man. It's just wonderful.
It's going to be awesome, man. So much great basketball. We hope that Auburn continues to play throughout today and throughout the weekend in Nashville. And Uncle T-Bone, I talked about this with Brad Law yesterday. So much happening in Nashville right now with Auburn Athletics. Basketball playing right now. Baseball there playing Vanderbilt in a three-game series. That first game will start this afternoon. And Auburn Gymnastics all up in Nashville. I know a ton of people that made the drive up to what I like to call Auburn North. My dad's there right now. I have numerous friends that are there. I'm jealous. I wish I was in Nashville. Doug from the Max Roundtable was set up there. He's calling. I mean, he was doing the show, talking all sorts of games and having a good old time, man. So if you're able to be in Nashville and you're lucky enough to be there, man, enjoy that. It's going to be a great weekend for Auburn Athletics.
Well, early in this game, you can see it already. 6-5 Auburn. 16 minutes left in the first half. South Carolina at the foul line. Auburn's got to rebound better than they just did on that possession. Oh, my gosh. There's like 5 missed rebounds on the defensive side. If that continues, it's going to be a long day for the Tigers.
Well, South Carolina does have a little bit of size, and Auburn has to crash the boards offensively and defensively and do not give up second and third chances because, look, South Carolina, while they're decent, good offensively, they're not just the best shooting team in the world, but they are when you give them second and third and fourth chances. And Auburn's got to find a way to clean that up here. 6-6, 15:50 to play in the first half. We'll take our final break here in hour number one. Hey, phone lines are open all show long on this free-for-all Friday. I know the game's underway, but what are your thoughts? What are your predictions? How are you feeling about this game and any other games going on around college basketball? We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We'll wrap up hour number one after this.
Are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Phone number to get through to us is 334-321-1390. Whatever you want to talk about, your thoughts, picks, predictions, reactions so far to what's happening in Nashville. Auburn takes a 7-6 lead with 5:45 to play in the first half over South Carolina. Winner moves on to play Mississippi State. And when you start looking at the SEC tournament bracket, man, I know we're not trying to look past this game a whole lot, but we're not the ones playing, so we're allowed to. If Auburn does win this game, not that the path is easy, not that Mississippi State is an easy team to beat. They just beat Tennessee, but it's a heck of a lot easier than having to play Tennessee in the semifinals tomorrow.
I mean, I guess, you know, it's hard to say right now. Do you want to play the number one seed, possible number one seed in the NCAA tournament, or do you want to play the team that's hot? And it's obvious Mississippi State's pretty hot all of a sudden. But
the reason I say that.
And I will say this. It is an easier pathway to go if you do get past today and play Mississippi State, because tomorrow at noon would be their third game.
That's what I was going to say.
And at that point, their legs are getting a little wobbly.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about earlier in the show when John called in, too. That was the first segment is, look, that would be Mississippi State's third game in 3 days.
Right.
That's when you start to see that take effect. They beat LSU yesterday. They beat Tennessee today, and they're going to play either Auburn or South Carolina tomorrow. Two physical teams, two good teams, two fast teams, two well-disciplined teams. And I just don't know if Mississippi State will have the legs or the dudes if Josh Hubbard doesn't have a great game, just like Dalton Kinect didn't have a great game today for Tennessee. And if Mississippi State doesn't get that tomorrow, they're not going to beat either one of these teams.
Yeah, and you saw Auburn do that against Mississippi State the last time they played, although Josh Hubbard still got his numbers. He didn't get most of those numbers until that game was out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do? You focus on taking him out of the game and try and make it a 4-on-5 type game at that situation. Not to mention, if you're playing Tennessee tomorrow on a Saturday in Nashville, you would think that crowd would probably be about 80-20. I mean, so let's just be real. You know, there's going to be a lot of Auburn people up there, but Tennessee fans, if they're playing on the weekend in their home state, they're going to come out in droves.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Man, I'm just now looking at some of the stats, the team stats for this Mississippi State-Tennessee game. Mississippi State shot 55% for the game compared to 31% for Tennessee. That is effective basketball. Neither team shot the three ball really well. State actually turned it over more than Tennessee did, and they got out-rebounded by Tennessee. But
Boy, that's hard to believe.
The Vols just didn't shoot the ball well and just didn't make a whole lot of shots.
They're just cold.
Yeah.
They're just cold, man. And that happens in tournament play. You come out cold in one game, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Look at this. Tennessee made 19 field goals. They shot it 62 times, man. That is so many field goals. And then they didn't make any of them, man. I mean, they just did not make any shots in this game. They also, out of 62 field goals, shot 33 threes. That's not Tennessee's game, man. That's not their game.
Many. Yeah, that's just coming out and trying to huck it up and think that you're just going to kind of roll through a game. And when those probably a lot of those shots are just coming down the floor quickly,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost like it isn't even a possession.
Yeah.
You know, I know you got to get your shots in. You know, they were complaining about that last night, Texas A&M, and why that game was so close, that Ole Miss did a wonderful job of limiting shots by Texas A&M. It's the first thing Buzz Williams said when he came off the court. We're not getting the ball up in the air enough towards the rim, and that has to change. But come on, man. I mean, 33 threes, what is this? What is this, just like small ball, Rick Pitino, Providence, 1987?
Well, what happens if Auburn comes into this game and shoots 33 threes? We're going to be raising all sorts of you-know-what. I mean, we're going to be
Unless
totally
they make
upset.
About 18 of them.
That's exactly right, which, hey, they have the capability to do, but more than likely that's not the case, right? So then you're like, okay, why are we getting away from our game?
Right.
Tennessee did that, and they lost. But early on here, Uncle T-Bone, in the first 6.5 minutes or so, Auburn up 12-10 with 13.5 to play. They haven't really done that. They've stuck to their games early on.
Yeah, I mean, they're attacking the rim. And, you know, that was a point we made before they started. Get after it. Get towards the rim. Get your big man down there. This is going to be a free throw and rebound game. Let's lean on South Carolina. They played yesterday. If you lean on them and get physical, hopefully really closely towards the end of the first half, they begin to get a little tired and break. At this point in the game, Auburn's just got to really focus on making these free throws. They're getting to the line, but they're just, you know, they keep going one out of two from the free throw line, and that's something you don't want to do early in a game.
Yeah, and, you know, in a game like this where you're only up by 3, 7 minutes in, you're thinking, man, why is Auburn not up by more? But they're playing the right way. They're playing their game. And if you keep doing that, the coaching staff and Bruce Pearl have to hammer, it's going to work. It's going to work. It's going to work.
Right.
Don't go away from it, because eventually you are
don't
going
panic.
To break them. Like you said during the break.
Don't panic.
If you lean on a team like South Carolina, eventually they're going to break.
Yeah, I mean, they played yesterday. They don't quite have the depth that you do.
They don't have the horses you do.
They don't have they're starting five strong, but after that it kind of starts getting a little sketchy. They may have a guy who's out with injury. Dylan Cardwell, though, did just pick up his second foul, I believe. This is what we talked about. You cannot get into foul trouble with a team like this. And if you are and you get into a free throw shooting contest, you better make more than they do.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that. Maybe a little football conversation coming up in hour number two as well, with constant updates from Auburn and South Carolina in the SEC quarterfinals from Nashville. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Hour number two coming up.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Uncle T-Bone with you in the studio as we get underway in hour number two. Hour number one in the books. If you missed any of it, you can go and find the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Just search On the Line or visit ESPNAU.com. Talked a lot about the games last night and yesterday. Preview the Auburn and South Carolina game, and also began talking about the Auburn-South Carolina game as the Tigers and the Gamecocks currently in a battle right now in Nashville. 19-14 is the score. Auburn on top of South Carolina with 10:49 to play in the first half. Phone lines are open all of hour number two. I know the game's on, but if you want to call in, talk about it, talk about Mississippi State beating Tennessee or any other result going on in college basketball or anything else on your mind, give us a call. 334-321-1390. Uncle T-Bone, your thoughts early on here. We were watching it in between hour one, hour two. Your thoughts, Auburn up by five with 10:49 to play.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing everything that we said they needed to do. Big 3-point right there by Denver Jones off a inbound play. Tigers up 22-14 in a rebounding battle with South Carolina down low. And, boy, getting just given is just as much as they're getting, so that's good to see. Playing some hardcore defense also. Bruce Pearl continues to bring in substitution after substitution while South Carolina continues to have their same five or close to it on the court. If that continues, and there it is, another big rebound that time by CBM. Tigers coming down, 10 minutes left, 22-14, and playing some very competent basketball. They didn't come out and just start hucking up threes. Got into a rhythm, got some great minutes from Katie Johnson, who attacked the rim And that's just what you got to do against these Gamecocks. Just put the pressure on them near the basket and go from there.
Yeah, and look, that's what's going to come back to get South Carolina is what you just talked about. The fact that Auburn's rotating guys in and out, and they're playing with the same six or seven. The last 10 minutes or so, really the last 7 or 8 minutes of the second half of this basketball game is where you're going to see that really come to fruition and Auburn take advantage of it as Denver Jones lays it in for an and one. Yep. He's playing really good right now. Auburn up by 10. Can make it 11 at the free throw line. The madness is upon us. March Madness.
It's here.
I know that it's champ week, and it's been a lot of fun so far. Going to be a lot of fun tonight and this weekend. You know what else is going to be a lot of fun? Next Thursday, to kick off the NCAA tournament, we're going to be live on location with ESPN 106.7.
Yeah, big news, folks. Join us with On the Line, followed by The Drive for a live remote, 2 to 6, Thursday, March 21st. To tip off the tourney at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, home of the Warburger. Thirsty Thursdays at the Plaza Bar have never been more exciting than March 21st. With the first day of March Madness, along with Jacob, Uncle T, Bill, and Dan, the Plaza, along with all the tourney games, will offer beer bucket specials, $1 wings, and much more. Doors open at 11 a.m. March 21st with ESPN 106.7 live remote, 2 to 6 in the Shack. On the party patio from the Plaza Bar in Midtown, your home, Auburn Opelika, for March Madness.
Where else would you rather be? I mean, let's just be honest. Where else do you want to be? We already know you're taking off of work. You're going to be watching the games at home. You may as well just come on out, make the short drive over to the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown. Chris Moore's going insane.
Yeah, I hope he just didn't get teed up. I mean, he made a nice rebound and laid it in and let – all of Nashville.
I don't think I've ever seen Chris Moore
all
that emotional
in my
life. All
the city of Nashville know it.
Oh, my goodness.
Hopefully, he just didn't get a technical. I mean, it's the first time in months he's scored a basket, so I'd be excited, too. Good job, Jesus. Chris Moore. But, hey, calm down, big dog.
Auburn on an 11-0 run over the last 3 minutes and 17 seconds. 13-2 run over the last 4 minutes. Tigers up 26-14. But, yes, next Thursday, first day of the NCAA tournament, come out and join us at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. We'll be out there 2-6 and then probably some time after that watching all sorts of basketball NCAA tournament games. Beer buckets and wings. You got me sold on that. Come out and join us at the Plaza Bar and Lounge next Thursday in Midtown.
I can promise you no one is working harder and having as much fun as we are, and we're going to work hard next Thursday to bring you the best live remote you can possibly have, but it's going to be the funnest, that's for sure. Last year, Jacob, I watched on the party patio, no remote, no 106.7 ESPN radio, but it still was fun. Now it's going to be a lot funner. I watched Auburn and Iowa play, and that was a good basketball game and a heck of a good time. They got TVs everywhere, inside and out. The place is all spread out. There's plenty of room, so make sure you get down there and join us. We're going to have a big time.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun. So come out and join us next Thursday. We'll remind you a bunch next week. You'll hear some promos running on the station as well. So be sure you look out for that. Make plans to come join us next Thursday, 2-6 at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us. We're reacting, talking about all the college basketball games going on during Champ Week. And man, Auburn, again, playing well. Up 26-14. I do want to take a sidestep, though. We'll keep updating you on this, right? We'll keep updating you on this. Some big-time college football news. There is a new TV contract in place. There's also been talks over the last, 48 hours or so about the college football playoff that, Uncle T-Bone, we haven't even played the first 12-team playoff yet, and we're already talking about expanding it again. It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable. Well, no, I take that back. It's very believable. It's just stupid.
Man, it just drives me crazy, Jacob, that they're already talking about expanding this thing even further. And we all know what it's about, and it's about money. And apparently the holdup on getting this contract signed was there are a few teams that didn't feel like their fair share was coming their way if they make the actual playoffs. The SEC and the Big Ten dominating the revenue share there. In particular, it was Notre Dame who basically gets to keep all the money that they get. So they got that worked out. There was a rumor, and a very strong one, or at least talk of, the tournament in 2025 for football basically going to 14. That has not happened yet.
They were expecting it to happen today.
Yeah, there's a new agreement for on to 2026 for revenue distribution and the TV deal, but the expansion to 14 teams has not been locked down as of right now. But you know how this works, Jacob. They float these ideas out there that they're going to do. They let everybody debate it and talk about it, and then they just do it. So if there's talk of it, it's coming. I don't think that 14 teams ever should be involved in any kind of college football playoff. I was proven wrong this year because I've always said no more than eight teams, the top eight, could really and truly win against the number one team, right, or number two team. This year there was enough parity that one of the top 10, 11 teams could have beaten anybody at any time. But there's no way on earth you can get to 14. You're talking about getting down to teams that have four or five losses almost in the regular season, like an Oklahoma State. They couldn't beat anybody in the top 10.
But I'll push
not
back
at the end of the year. So that's where I am with it. I'm just not a big fan of expansion. But you know what? There's a lot of things in college football I'm not a big fan of. And unlike Nick Saban, I'm not taking my ball and going home. I'm going to continue to be a fan.
I want to get your thoughts on that coming up in just a second. I'm glad you brought that up. But to push back on that just a hair, I think 10 years ago, that argument stood where you could say, look, the 12th team in the country doesn't belong to play with Ohio State or Alabama or Auburn or Florida State, whoever's in that top two or three teams in the country, right? They didn't deserve to be there because there was a significant gap in the top four or five versus everybody else. But this past year, yeah, you had 10 or 12 teams that were legitimate contenders for a national championship. The reason for that is what we've been talking about for the last 6 months, where teams across the board are getting better. Teams are getting better because of NIL and transfer portal, right? So more teams are competitive than they have or than they were in the past, right? There is no Alabama dominance anymore. There is no one team dynasty anymore. You'll have a team like Georgia that does it for a couple of years, but there will never, ever be a 15-year raid ever again. That's not going to happen in this sport because everything is being evened out. You can't keep kids like you used to because if you don't have the money, they're going to leave. If you don't make them happy, they're going to leave. If you don't have what it takes to keep them on your roster or even get them there in the first place, they're going to leave. That's why teams are better than they used to be, and the big gap that once existed is getting slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. So maybe there is an argument for a bigger college football playoff for that reason.
Yeah, I think teams like Missouri, they're not getting better from buying players from Alabama. Now, they may occasionally get a transfer from an Alabama or Georgia, but it's just because mainly that guy's probably not seeing the field like he thinks he should. And if he's not seeing the field at one of those better programs like he should, is he really one of the best players in college football? They're getting better by taking players from lower-tiered schools like a Troy, or going out and recruiting like a Utah State, you know. And so in that aspect, that it is that they're rising up. They're getting better because they're getting the talent from lesser programs. Okay? But a team like Ohio State, now that's the threat to the what they did this year is go out and they laid down the law in the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they get Caleb Downs from Alabama. They get Quinson Jenkins from Ole Miss. I mean, that's what Nick Saban's talking about, buying players. And now, you know, is one team going to get all the best players? But my problem with the whole thing is, that's fine. I mean, you know, you can't – there's no way on earth that Ohio State or any school, in my opinion, is going to be able to sustainably – pay outrageous amounts of money. Okay? They're not that much wealthier than Alabama. They may have been this year, but that'll all even out eventually over time. You know, there's going to be a breakaway of bigger programs, but the best programs are always going to be the best programs. And as good as Alabama's been under Nick Saban, they didn't win the national championship every year. And you can't tell me that he didn't have an advantage over the majority, like 98% of college football with his roster and be able to stack players on there, and they still didn't win every single season. I'm not really, really concerned about it anymore.
Okay.
It doesn't even bother me. And this whole – John brought it up earlier, right? He said, you know, and you said, well, these players can leave at any time. Any player who's ultimately looking to leave at any moment because of anything is going to be a washout no matter where they go. All right? And almost every situation I've ever seen in life, be it work or be it in growing up or be it in sports or being in friendships or relationships, someone who is that selfish is not bigger than the program or place of work that they just left. The world keeps spinning. And no matter what Nick Saban says and complains about or opines about, whether you agree with it or not, college football's not going to end. I mean, I've seen people saying, well, you know, there's going to be people just stop watching college football because it wasn't like it was in 1984, Uncle T-Bone. There are millions upon millions of people coming up that don't know anything different than how the players may act now compared to how they act 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. The world keeps spinning, Nick, and you can complain and moan and opine about it and blame everything on that's why you left college football. The fact of the matter is he aged out. Everyone ages out. The only constant in this world is change. And until the NCAA itself is willing to go into a full-blown lawsuit against players.
Here we go.
And lay down the law and say, these are our rules or you can't play. Until they're willing to do that, it doesn't matter. Right? One thing I didn't like about Saban's comments either was, you know, he talks about how it's NIL and we got to, oh, it's all about the money. And the NCAA could do some things really quickly right now to fix a lot of this. Just have some rules like what y'all were talking about earlier with John. Don't open up the transfer portal on Monday while the tournaments are just starting. And the comeback is, well, they could leave at any time. Bye.
See you later.
You know, you don't own people. Just because you give somebody a scholarship, just because you pay them, in this world, in America, you don't own them. If they want to leave and it's not good enough, well, I'm going to find somebody his good enough because everybody's replaceable, even Nick Saban. Alabama still has a football program. Alabama still has a coach, and football is still going, and it will still go in. It's just going to be different. And just because you don't like it, doesn't mean it should be changed back to the way you do like it.
Mic drop. Love it.
Fact.
334-321-1390. We're going to get to the phone lines when we come back. Believe we've got boots on the ground in Nashville. We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Friday edition of On the Line, plus an update. Auburn up 30-15 on South Carolina. 5.5 to play in the first half.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Friday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. And our good friend Jack Hutton's with us as he is almost in Nashville. He will be there all weekend long checking out basketball and baseball. What's up, man? How are you?
Man, we are live from Auburn North up here in Tennessee.
Right.
What's going on, buddy?
We are having a good time watching. We've got Auburn basketball on in the studio. Tigers up 30-18 on South Carolina, 4:48 to play. I know you're probably watching it on your phone in the car. But Auburn basketball playing well, and yeah, you're going to check that out along with Auburn baseball taking on Vanderbilt this weekend to open up SEC play.
Yeah, funny enough, when we scheduled this, we usually do a trip for baseball every year to go to another SEC venue, and when we booked this, we were not thinking that the SEC basketball tournament was going to be going on in Nashville at that time. We figured that out probably 2 to 3 weeks ago, really. So, got a lot going on from the Auburn standpoint. So, the initial purpose of the trip was just going to go up and watch some baseball, but we may try to get over and see some shooty hoops as well.
Well, you should, man. There's so much going on between basketball, baseball, and gymnastics happening in Nashville for Auburn Athletics. A crazy weekend. And as we're watching this going down right now, that South Carolina player just got a flagrant one.
Oh, my gosh. And then
in a dead ball situation, KD walks over and gets a technical foul. So outside of this last minute or so, Auburn's been playing pretty well, Jack.
Yeah, and I saw the flagrant. I did not see KD Johnson get the technical foul, so... Man, what were we saying, and you and I said this kind of off-air the other day, but what were we saying about, is Auburn going to be called for a technical at some point in the postseason at a crucial time? And I don't know if this is necessarily a incredibly crucial time yet, but it's like this continues to happen for Auburn with primarily two guys. It's been KD Johnson and Chad Baker-Mazzara. And it's just time to shut up.
Yeah.
It's time to be quiet.
I mean, let your play do the talking. I mean, Auburn's up by 12 with less than five minutes to play in the first half. Why are you jawing so bad right now in the first game of the postseason?
And still jawing on while he sits down on the bench. I mean, I'm with you, Jack. This is ridiculous. And this has been building up more and more as the season goes on towards the end of the season. And it looks like Auburn, which just, you know, it was a flagrant foul on South Carolina. We're about to get a couple of free throws. And KD Johnson just can't, you know, keep his trap shut. And now we get a technical. He's still talking while he's on the bench. It drives me crazy. Just play basketball,
really,
guys.
Let your ball do the talking.
Well,
especially when you've got guys doing that, like I said, in crucial moments, you know, it was,
right.
I guess it was last week at some point where you had that going on in the second half, and it's under a 10-point game. And so you're giving the opposing team two shots at free throws and the ball. It's like we're just giving them free points then. So, yeah, you're right. It goes back to the old thing of let your play do the talking, and I think Auburn has trouble sometimes doing it, and I think that may represent a little bit of a lack of awareness from this team. But I will say, just to talk about what's actually going on the floor right now, thus far, it was kind of a slow start offensively, but it seems like Auburn has found a groove here. You know, they're going inside. They're getting a lot of shots on the inside. And I would think that actually you would have more success with some jump shots from the outside against South Carolina. And they're really just playing South Carolina's game. They're going slow and steady. They're getting the ball inside to Jalen Williams, Jani Broome. They're driving the ball. And that's usually not what you do against South Carolina. You usually have to make some shots from the outside. Auburn's doing a good job of it.
Yeah, Auburn, after South Carolina shot the technical free throws, they cut it within 10. Now Chad Baker-Mazzara shooting the flagrant free throws. Auburn to get the basketball out of this as well. 31-20, make it 32-20 with 4:48 to play in the first half. Want to switch gears really quick, Jack, because you and your dad going to watch Auburn baseball take on Vanderbilt in the SEC opener. Man, tell us about that series. Give us your thoughts on what that could look like for Auburn coming off a big series win last weekend over Austin Peay.
Yeah, and it's an Austin Peay team that whoever is thinking that, oh, that's just a team that, well, Auburn dropped one of those games, and so you ought to be pretty nervous. I would say caution on that. Austin Peay has got every bit of what I think could be a bottom to mid-tier SEC roster this year. You've got a lot of grad students on that roster that are from other teams, and I think that's the way that a lot of mid-majors are starting to build their teams. Is they're getting some of these guys that are on these big Division I teams that were big prospects at the time, and maybe didn't pan out exactly like you wanted them to at school, but they're still coming in with a load of talent. And this Austin Peay team can swing it. I think they ran out of pitching in the end and just couldn't handle Auburn's offense on the last day. But that's a big series win against an Austin Peay team that I think is going to simulate SEC play. You know, as you come into this weekend, I think the biggest story is you're getting Joseph Gonzalez back, and it hasn't really been from an injury, but it's been more of just a lack of performance from him. You know, he got lit up the last couple of times out against UConn when he was out there, and then he continues to not be able to throw like his old self. You know, when he was in the spring, he was up to 93, 94 miles an hour on his velocity, on his fastball velocity, and that tailed off. He was getting about 87, 88. His last time out. And if you're thinking about, and if you go into, you know, all the sports biomechanics and stuff, that spin rate goes down as that velocity goes down, and thus you don't get as much sink on that ball. You don't get as much spin going downwards. And I think that's what was happening with Gonzalez. He just lost velocity, and thus the ball's not sinking. So you've got a changeup coming in there. You got batting practice that he's doing. And I know that's a very high-level explanation, but I think that's the case with Gonzalez is, can you get the velo back up? Can you get the lower half back engaged, and can you get it sinking again? In terms of the lineup, you know, I think that Auburn had a little trouble with the flu bug this past week, but I think everybody's back. You got Bobby Pierce coming back in the lineup. Cooper Weiss, who did not play on Tuesday against Troy, he's back in the lineup. And so Auburn's close to full strength. Don't know if everybody's 100%, but I think you're going to have everybody at least making a trip.
Auburn baseball at Vanderbilt to open up SEC play this weekend. Auburn basketball taking on South Carolina, of course, in the SEC tournament. 34-22 Tigers with 3:46 to play in the first half. Jack, we appreciate you, man. We hope you have a fantastic trip in Nashville, and hopefully there's enough teams going on. You ought to be able to bring home a win somewhere.
We ought to be able to get at least one. Hopefully we get one in the arena today, and we're already not getting skunked on the weekend. You know, I've always said, Jacob, that in SEC play in baseball, when you go on the road, you got to get one. It's a good weekend if you get one on the road. It's a great weekend if you get two. And so I think Auburn's mission this weekend is get one and then figure out how to make it a great weekend.
Well, we'll see how that goes. Auburn baseball playing Vanderbilt. We'll give you an update on broadcasting and locally here in Auburn, Opelika. Jack, have a great trip, man. Great to talk to you, and we'll see you next time.
Tell Uncle T to behave. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks so much, Jack. Will do. Did you hear that, Uncle T-Bone? He said behave, man.
That's impossible.
We appreciate Jack Hutton joining us on the road, heading up to Nashville, him and his dad going. They do that yearly trip, like he was saying, where they go and see a different baseball venue in the SEC, kind of like my dad and I do. We go and see basketball venues. So
that's awesome, guys.
It's really cool, man. So,
old man, I've met old man Hutton. He's a good dude. And came in and hung out with us at a pregame show, too, this past fall when Jack were on 94.3, 4 hours before kickoff here in the fall. So I forget what the name of that show
Game was. Day?
Game Day. That's right. Thanks. I better get that right before next September.
That's right.
Tigers up 34-22. Shooting 2 of 5 from three-pointers, so just make a couple more at that rate. I think we'll be all right.
We'll talk about it, give you an update, continue to break it down, and preview what is coming up in the second half. 34-22 Auburn over South Carolina. We'll talk about it more. 30 minutes left in the Friday edition of On the Line.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz. We're having a lot of fun on this Friday afternoon. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Auburn up 13 points on South Carolina with 2 minutes to play in the first half. That's a travel inside. Didn't get called. But
that's
Auburn,
the second one that just happened that didn't call.
Yeah, Auburn's got the basketball, two minutes to play, and a big-time foul underneath. I think that is Chaney Johnson going. Chaney Johnson going to the free throw line to try and expand on a 13-point lead for Auburn. And we were talking during that break as we're watching this game. You and I both kind of feel, for us to be comfortable going into the second half, we're thinking this needs to stay a double-digit lead for Auburn.
Yeah, you don't want to let South Carolina get back in this game and get within 10 and give them some momentum. Chaney Johnson with a big free throw just hit a huge three-pointer to get Auburn back up by 13. You know, you want to be up, give yourself a good little buffer, you know, double-digit lead. Make them start pressing. Make them start hooking up the threes from everywhere and just keep grinding them out. And if Tigers can stay out of foul trouble, I think so far in this game, though, South Carolina, huge advantage at the free throw line. This has changed, but they were a little bit earlier, 9 of 11 from free throws, Auburn 5 of 9. So South Carolina and both Auburn right now finally in the double bonus.
Yeah, and we got to realize, too, there may be a little bit of a time difference between what we're watching and what other people are watching. I mean, I think we have a cable box in here. I don't really know what we're using in this studio. But in today's era of television, right. I mean, there are five different people could be on five different parts of the game, which is crazy. That wasn't a thing 15, 20 years ago, right. But here we are now. So keep that in mind. But Auburn up 15 points, 40-25 with a minute and a half to play. And we're going to talk about this first half, and I want us to go ahead and start to get into this a little bit because – I mean, I think all things considered, this is exactly what you wanted for Auburn, right? You've put up 40 points in the first mm-hmm. half. You've held them to 25.
That's right.
If it were to repeat itself in the second half, which you don't know if it's going to, that'd be an 80-50 win. That'd be another big-time victory over South Carolina. Auburn has shot the ball well. They've defended well. And overall, they're playing about as good as you could hope for in their first game of the SEC tournament.
Well, they look like a well-rested team right now. And they look very comfortable out there playing. They continue to grind. They continue to go inside. Jani Broome going back to the free throw line again.
He's an animal.
And slowly but surely, kind of like we said, leaning on South Carolina, putting the pressure on the Gamecocks. Keep working the ball inside. Keep working your rotations in. Now maybe getting South Carolina in a little foul trouble. And that really changes the dynamic of the game. We have not seen KD Johnson since he got his technical foul and his outburst. I like that. I think that Bruce Pearl did a magnificent job there of calming him down.
Well, there's no reason for him to be on the floor if he's going to act like that.
Yeah, let him get on the end of the bitch and continue to jaw, and he can just jaw at air.
Yeah.
And while the rest of us grown-ups play basketball and calm him down, that's a shame, too, because he was having a really good first half before that happened. I hope that didn't just kill his mojo. Because he was playing fantastic basketball, taking up for his man CBM, who was in a little jawing match with the South Carolina guy, slammed him down to the floor. But the Tigers playing good defense, and that's another foul on South Carolina, and they look frustrated now, Jacob Goins.
Yeah, another turnover. Auburn fired up, man. Minute 107 to play. KD's all smiling ear to ear on the bench, so maybe he is chilled out a little bit. 42-25 Auburn as we're watching it here in the studio. And this is relieving because we've seen Auburn, and we talked about this coming into the week as I throw my pen here in the studio. And we talked about it coming up in the week about, was that a three?
That's a three-pointer by Aiden Holloway. Here we go.
Oh, my goodness. Auburn open it up right now
in
this first half.
Oh, it's only a two. He had his foot on the line.
Oh, well, hopefully they go back and review it. But we were mentioning in this coming into the week about, look, Auburn walking into the SEC tournament the last few years, they've just stunk up the place in the first half just about every time because they've come out flat and tired and just a little slow compared to what they have been doing. But so far here today, that's not been the case. I mean, Auburn is threatening to put 50 points on South Carolina in this first half. They could have done it almost right there with an Aiden Holloway three, but this is really refreshing to see for this Auburn team right now, man.
Yeah, they are just playing some stout defense and really putting pressure on South Carolina. There's a big play by Jani Broome, and he's going to get two and go to the foul line. They're not. There's no mercy right now. They're not just waiting this last 8, 10, 25, 30 seconds to run the clock down and get the last shot heading into halftime. Tigers smell blood. And, boy, they are hunting chickens right now.
Auburn just matches up really, really well with this South Carolina team. I mean, they just do. They're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger. They're just better than this South Carolina team. Now, let me say this as we're getting close to going
into
the
half. Well, there it is, guys. We're done. There's the kiss of death. Ain't no way Auburn loses this game now. Good
Auburn
job.
By 100. No, but that's what I'm saying.
Taking it to tumors.
This is still a good South Carolina team. Coming into today was a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
so
it's
you
a
have
good South Carolina
you have
team.
To play them for 40 minutes. You cannot. Yeah. Now, we had said this. When we were watching Auburn beat them like this in Neville Arena when Auburn was up by a million, I just don't know if they have the offense to come back from something like this. Now, Auburn could very easily play a terrible second 20 minutes and let them back in it.
Sure. It does happen a lot in basketball.
Sure, but I mean, what's been the knock on this South Carolina team? They've been a great defensive team, and their offense is, it does like this. It goes up and down. It's in hills. It's in waves, if you will. And I just don't know, especially with the defense Auburn plays. I mean, Auburn's held them to 25 points in 20 minutes of play. You cannot overcome that more times than not.
Gosh, they've been in the double bonus, it seems like, for 10 minutes also. I mean, that you know, I know I'm a big Auburn fan and probably going to sound like a homer here, but I really think the only – oh, my gosh, he almost made that.
Oh, my goodness, he almost made that.
That would have been incredible.
From three-quarter court, South Carolina just reared back and launched it. It went did everything but go in.
It was like a putt that just goes all the way around the cup and then – and then just comes back right at you.
Look at that, Bruce coaching. I love it. Yeah. You're up by 20 at the half, and Bruce is letting Chaney and Janai Broom have it a little bit, coaching right there at the end of the first half.
I don't think he liked that inbound pass that Chaney Johnson.
Yeah, the home run
ball. That might have been a little bit too aggressive right there. But you can see it in Bruce Pearl's eyes. He's got that look to him that the Tigers are playing with an edge right now, and he loves it. Tigers go into the half up 46-26 on South Carolina. That's you can't ask for anything better. And I was saying before that big shot almost went in for South Carolina. You know, I'm Uncle T-Bone. Everyone knows I'm a big Auburn fan, and this is going to sound like a homer comment, but really and truly the only way South Carolina gets back into this basketball games is if the Zebras allow them to in the second half.
Auburn up 46-26 at the half over South Carolina in the SEC Tournament quarterfinals. Auburn ended the half on an 11-1 run in the last 2.5 minutes of the first half. Here's some of your team stats through the first 20 minutes. South Carolina has made just 7 shots today. 7. They've shot it 26 times. They've only made 7 of them. That is 27%. Auburn, 17 of 34. They are shooting an even 50% through the first 20 minutes. That's some dangerous basketball right there. South Carolina, 2 of 6 from downtown. Auburn, 3 of 7. These teams pretty even in free throws. 10 of 15 for South Carolina, 9 of 14 for Auburn. Hey, we want to get your thoughts. If you've been watching the first half, what are your thoughts so far? Auburn up by 20. 334-321-1390. My biggest stat so far, Uncle T-Bone, South Carolina with 7 turnovers. Auburn with just 3. But here's the number. Of those 7 turnovers for South Carolina, Auburn has scored 14 points off of those South Carolina turnovers.
Well, that's incredible. I mean, that you know, it Tigers start out slow, but they did what they needed to do to kind of get in the rhythm of the game, unlike Tennessee did against Mississippi State. They started working the ball inside patiently. They were pounding their big men in there, Janai Broom. He didn't wait around to get going in the second half like he's done several times this season. He just said, give me the ball and get out of the way.
334-321-1390. Spectre, you're on the line. What'd you think of that first half? Auburn up by 20.
Well, I wish I could have seen it all. I'm having to catch bits and pieces of it.
Okay.
But yeah, I love what I see or what I hear. But let me ask y'all, I did see something that concerned me. Bruce was talking to Broom and someone else, I can't remember who it was, at halftime. Right?
Yeah, Chaney Johnson. It was Chaney Johnson.
Okay. Well, the cameraman followed him into the dressing room, and Broom was favoring his left leg.
Yeah, he had come up there a few minutes ago kind of trying to walk something off. It looked like he was trying to stomp his shoe back on, you know, where the back of it kind of gets tucked down, and it looked like he was trying to stomp his shoe back on, but hopefully he's okay. We're not watching it 100% with doing the show. We got it on here in the studio, but hopefully nothing is there. If there is something, luckily Auburn does have a 20-point lead, so maybe you don't have to play him the entire second half.
Yeah, this is what concerns me about the SEC tournament. Guys getting in there and getting hurt. And can't play in the dance.
Well, yeah, we've talked about that several times, Spectre. It's like with the expanded playoff in college football nationwide, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're the number one team in the SEC, why do you want to go play in the SEC championship game?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I was watching Broom. He walked a good 30, 40, 50 feet on that leg. So if his shoe was off, I think I'd just throw it off and walk.
Hey, that happens sometimes.
I hope there's nothing wrong with him. I see Mississippi State's making their move.
Yeah, they're doing it, aren't they?
But that's what the tournament's all about, is for those second-chance teams to get in there.
Mm-hmm. Make a little noise.
It really is, and I'm glad you say that, Spectre. It's like, you know, what does Kentucky really have to play for in this tournament?
What does Auburn have to play for in this tournament?
Exactly. I mean, maybe Auburn goes all the way and wins the tournament, gets to bump up from a 4 to a 3 seed. Okay, I mean, that's a big deal, but the tournament is really and truly for those teams on the bubble.
That's right. Well, I'm sorry, guys. I got to leave.
Okay, Spectre, we appreciate the call, man. It's great to hear from you. Happy Friday. Hope you have a great weekend. 334-321-1390. Would love to get your thoughts if you're joining us here as the Tigers are up 20 points at the half, 46-26 over South Carolina. Man, I have to keep going back to this. That's the best performance you could ask for in the very first game of the SEC tournament.
No question.
Don't want to speculate on Janiyah. I don't know if there's anything there. Hopefully not. But yeah, I mean, you're up by 20 points in the first half in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament. You scored 46. You held them to 26. Could South Carolina realistically make a comeback? Sure. But if Auburn keeps playing the way they're playing, it's going to be another 40-point rout.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, they're just you said it, Jacob. I mean, I think Auburn matches up better against South Carolina than any team in the league.
Which is why all week long when I posed the question, who do Auburn fans want to see? Everybody said South Carolina. Well, not everybody. Most people did, though. Most people said South Carolina because of this reason right here. Because Auburn matches up so good with them, and this is what they do when these two teams get together. Janai Broome with 12 points at the half, 4 of 7 from the floor. Look at the points spread out of this team of Auburn, man. This is ridiculous. Janai Broome has 12. Chad Baker-Mazzara has 8 off the bench. Chaney Johnson has 7 as a starter. Then Denver Jones has 5 he has 5 as well. Then you have, you have Chris Moore with 4. How about that? You have Jayon Williams with 3. Aiden Holloway with 4 also. Excuse me. Aiden Holloway has 4. Katie Johnson with 2. And Dylan Cardwell with a point. He's been kind of in some foul trouble. He has 3 personal fouls, but hopefully that doesn't come back to get all.
I was just looking at that. Dylan Cardwell, the only Tiger and really any kind of foul trouble with 3. Katie Johnson's the only other player with 2, one of those being a technical. South Carolina, on the other hand, nobody with 3 fouls or more, but they have 5 players now with 2 fouls. Man. You got to continue to go inside and let's just get them in foul trouble and don't allow them to get on any runs. If you can get them on foul trouble and continue to get to the free throw line in the second half, Tigers should cruise and just not let the Gamecocks get in any kind of rhythm.
What are you looking for in this second half? I know we'll be going off the air as it's about to come on, and Bill and Dan will be joining us, or they'll be here during their show while the second half is going on for this game. But what are you going to be looking for in this second half? And then if this result holds, right, we'll play what if this result holds, what are you looking for this weekend?
Well, the second half, I mean, I just said it, you know, basically I want the Tigers to come out, you know, the easy answer is, hey, just come out and replicate what you did in the first half. But just, you know, get in there and continue to grind. I do want to see how KD Johnson does react to that technical foul. If he can calm down and come back and play some normal basketball into the weekend. Look, it's time to make a run if you get past the first one.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
And Bruce tells you, and many coaches will, the first one's the hardest one to win. And Auburn, on their way to do that, got to finish the last 20
minutes.
Real
quick, I know we got a break, though. If Auburn can get past this one, is it kind of setting up for an Auburn-Alabama matchup on Sunday?
See, I picked Kentucky to make it that far, but we'll see. Auburn would play Mississippi State if they hold on here, and then, yeah, they would play somebody from the other side. We'll wrap up our thoughts, get to the phone lines one more time as well when we come back here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line, Auburn up by 20 at the half, 46-26 on South Carolina. Let's get to the phone lines one more time, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Jacob. T-Bone, how y'all doing?
Doing good, man. What'd you think about that first half and everything overall?
Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. But how do you, I want to get your guys' professional opinions on something.
Professional opinion. I like that.
Times? I don't feel like they're fair.
The start times? Okay, as in you don't like them?
Well, no, they're fine. They're fine with me, but they never go off at the time they're supposed to. Well, like, what's the next game following Auburn?
So how the SEC tournament and most of these tournaments work, they have them in sessions, right? So that Tennessee-Mississippi State game was first, and then the Auburn-South Carolina game, while it had a 2 o'clock ish start time. I don't remember what the official start time was. It's 25 minutes after the next game is how they do that. And then tonight you've got the two games in the second session where they'll actually, believe it or not, in Nashville, they will clear out Bridgestone Arena and reopen it back up for the second session. So you buy tickets for each session of games. They do that for these first few days. When there's four games in a day, they do it two games in a session and then the next two games. So the A&M Kentucky games at 6 o'clock, they will clear out the arena after this Auburn South Carolina game, and then the night fans will come in.
Yeah, it'll tip off at 6. They'll get that right. But the Alabama-Florida game, I guess, will be the late game.
Yeah, it's scheduled for 8:30. Yep, it's scheduled for 8:30. So
I say 9 o'clock easy.
Probably so, especially if officials get whistle happy or if there's overtime or anything like that. I mean, it's going to be pushed back a little bit. But, I mean, that's how every tournament goes.
Right. It's kind of like during football season. You'll see ESPN or whatever channel schedule a bunch of football games back-to-back, knowing the time is going to run over.
Yeah, knowing that it's not going to go. Yeah, I mean, a college basketball game nowadays is going about 2:15, 2:20. It used to be 2 hours, but it's just gone a little bit longer. And, hey, commercials are a part of that, too.
Right. Got to pay the advertisers. Got to pay the bills.
That's right.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Terry, man. Have a great weekend. Appreciate you. 334-321-1390. Uncle T-Bone, I was asking you this. We got a few more minutes. Hey, I want to tell people really quick before we get to our final thought. Come out tomorrow. All right, tomorrow I'm going to be on live on location. You're going to be with me, Uncle T-Bone. We're going to have so many great folks out there at Urban Walk, downtown Auburn, at 234 West Magnolia. It is their grand opening. Our good friend Elliot, he's opening up Urban Walk downtown. That's WOK Urban Walk. It is fresh Global Fusion stir fry. Yes, it is a build your own style. Noodles, rice, protein, veggies, great sauces. It's delicious. It's clean. It's better than all that fast food stuff you're going to eat. Go out. We're going to be live on location, 96.3 W Lee, our sister station, for a live remote. Blaring music, giving away t-shirts and koozies and gift cards, all types of good stuff. Going to be a beautiful day in Auburn tomorrow. None of this rainy stuff that we've got today and what's coming up on Sunday. So that's from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Come out with us. We're going to be out there at Urban Walk, downtown Auburn, on West Magnolia. Going to be a lot of fun for that. If this result holds.
Yeah, that's right. Get on down there, folks. It's going to be a pile of fun. And just come on down to downtown and walk your way, man. It's just going to be awesome. I'm super excited about
walk
this
your
place.
Way, baby. I love it. We're going to have a lot of fun there, and then we're going to have fun next week at the Plaza Bar and Lounge as well. Auburn up by 20 in the first half. Barring a disastrous breakdown and disastrous just result here, if Auburn wins this game, they're playing Mississippi State tomorrow. If they win that, they'll play somebody in the likes of Alabama, Florida, Kentucky, or Texas A&M. What does Auburn have to do for us to be talking about them being SEC champions come Monday afternoon?
Well, you know, we said it earlier in the week that we liked Auburn's draw in the SEC tournament. We thought it was probably the best out of the top four teams. It just got easier if they can go ahead and take care of business against South Carolina. Instead of playing Tennessee in the state of Tennessee on a Saturday morning, they're going to get to go against Mississippi State. It'll be on the third leg of their conference tournament, right? At that point, you just got to take care of business in this half, worry about tomorrow after this game, take care of business against a team which you are better than, right? Just like Auburn's better than South Carolina. And then you go into Sunday and you just throw the kitchen sink at it. I mean, that's just all there is to it. I could very well see if Auburn gets past Mississippi State, if they get you know, take care of business here and get past Mississippi State, that there is a what I want to call a body bag game looming against Alabama Sunday. Well, that would be very interesting.
We'll see how it goes. We'll talk about all of that come Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks so much for spending your Friday with us. Keep up with the rest of the game. We will as well. We'll be back on Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.